Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm gonna go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I am your host, Dirt. And today, I will make an admission. I know. I made a mistake. Yes. And I'm here to fess up to it. Called out on it. Several people, in fact. This got quite a few people in a tizzy, as it turns out. And while I will say that I mixed up one of the names on the show, the storyline still stands. Even though there's been some debate about that, I'm looking for another explanation, and I still don't see one. So here, let's get into it. When recapping the Raw show, we had Kozlov down at ringside. Santino promised Kozlov that if he joined with him, he would be able to have sex with Eve, basically. And, Eve denied it, but Kozlov looked interested, but he went to ringside while William Regal wrestled, and in the middle of the match, he jumped in and he attacked William Regal, laid him out, so that Santino could get the pin. So Maurice, who was at ringside, starts arguing with Kozlov, and Kozlov leaves with Maurice arguing with him. And when I wrote down in my notes, I skipped over the whole, he attacked so he could have sex with Eve, and Maurice is arguing with him, and just wrote, he attacks Regal so he can have sex with Eve, and she argues with him. And so the she, of course, being Maurice, but I didn't write the name, I just wrote she. So when I read it back, I read Eve. So I said that Kozlov left with Eve in tow, and she was arguing with him. Well, he left with Maurice, but the storyline still stands. Santino promised Kozlov sex with Eve. Kozlov attacked Regal. Therefore, Kozlov believes he can have sex with Eve. So the storyline now is going to be Kozlov and Santino in an ongoing feud over Eve. Probably with, at some point, Santino saying, you don't get to have sex with her, I'm going to get to have sex with her, which will then have Eve slap both of them across the face. And then that'll be the end of that comedy bit. Now the question is, why would they break up Regal and Kozlov after, the guys were teaming together on ECW, then they were split up, whatever, and then now that they are back on Raw, they were teaming back up again, and it was a mild deal. I'm not going to say it was a big deal, but it was a mild deal that's why these guys were back together, doing a lot of backstage skits and whatnot. Well, latest word I've heard is that it's because of NXT. On NXT, Wade Barrett was announced as your winner. And Wade Barrett is an Englishman, and it was very clear that William Regal wanted to work with him because he's also an Englishman. So it looks like they will do a tag team deal with William Regal, William Regal and Wade Barrett as two Englishmen. And so that actually works out pretty well for Wade Barrett if you want to, put him with a guy like William Regal and have them do tag team matches together. I'm pretty sure that Wade Barrett will learn a lot. And it'll get him over a whole lot more than having him, Wade Barrett just suddenly he's wrestling Kofi and Cody Rhodes on Superstars. You know what I mean? So he should learn a lot working with William Regal on the road, and that'll be good for him. So future career for Wade Barrett. Now, the rest of the NXT rookies, after they made the the first couple cuts, there were questions on what did these cuts mean. And as we saw, I said I had heard from somebody that just because they were cut from NXT didn't mean they were cut from WWE. And in fact, for the finale, everyone who had been cut did indeed return. And of course, Daniel Bryan, who was cut, he's been back in a storyline every week since then, so it was obvious he was still under contract. But everybody, Skip Sheffield, Michael Tarver, everybody returned. They were in fact still under contract, and indeed still are under contract. Some of them will be going back to Florida Championship Wrestling to continue to work on their skills. Some of them will be making appearances on Superstars and whatnot, trying to see if they can somehow still gain momentum with the crowd. From what I hear, the one guy for certain heading back to the minors is David Otunga. He was simply brought up because he had a marquee named girlfriend. They were hoping that would generate interest in the show, give it some sort of, cross demographic appeal, try to get some more female viewers in there, some more casual entertainment viewers. Didn't happen. Just didn't happen. So, anyway, he's still very green. It was very obvious he was one of the worst workers on the show, and so he's going back to the minors to get retooled and fixed up a little bit until, of course, they change their mind and decide that they need somebody with a marquee name on a show, and then he'll reappear again. But that's the deal with him right now at the moment. Some other news and notes from the world of wrestling. Of course, obviously, the new superstars of NXT, the new rookies that have been brought to the table, brought to the show, that will be all over your TV for the next season. Let's see here. One of the biggest names, of course, is Husky Harris. Husky Harris, who is the actual son of IRS. And the grandson of Black Jack Mulligan. And they announced that he was indeed the grandson and son. But for whatever reason, he now has a new name. He also has a physique not unlike Dusty Rhodes, perhaps you could say, in his prime. When he used to wrestle, he had a bigger, suit on. I don't know what you would call it. Kind of like a vest type thing he would wrestle in. And it covered up most of his body. And it looked, he looked okay. He had long blonde hair. They cut his hair short. They made it back to its sandy blonde brown color, and they put him in a pair of tights, and he's got a lot of work to do to win over the fans. I gotta say that. For WWE, the way it pushes the cosmetic look of people, the way it says things like, Bryan Danielson will never make it because he's too small. A guy like Husky Harrison, well, they called him Husky, or Husky Harris. They call him Husky because he's fat, and that's going to be part of his gimmick. Great way to get someone over with the crowd. Eli Cottonwood. I don't know how many people, Eli Whitney made the cotton gin. And the cotton gin pulled the seeds out of the cotton, allowing the cotton to be processed faster. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this, but the cotton gin from Eli Whitney basically made slavery more profitable. And I have no idea if this is where they're going with the character, but you have a guy named Eli Cottonwood. When the cotton gin was first introduced, it made the price of slaves go from $200 to about $1,000. Because slaves could pick a lot more cotton, you'd put it in the cotton gin, it'd be processed and sold a whole lot faster, and you were raking in the dough. So it'd be interesting to see if they actually capitalize. I don't know. I don't know for certain that that's where they're going with that. But, that's what happened. That's historical fact. And this is WWE, and they are not above such things. So I really kind of have a bad feeling about Eli Cottonwood. I don't know. I don't know. We'll just have to see what they end up doing with him. We have Percy Watson, who doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence. His gimmick so far has been that he's Well, I guess here's the best way to describe his gimmick.
Goes and cream!
Yeah, that's what they got planned for him. We'll see if that changes in the next couple weeks, but, we have Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil actually has a pretty good look, pretty good physique to him. He might stand out a little bit on the TV crowd. He was a former football player, I believe, big guy in college, Citrus Bowl, Orange Bowl. He was in the Arena Football League, so I don't know if they're going to do anything with him or not. Lucky Cannon, he was a guy who, the most part, he seems to be a good worker, but has no charisma. And, of course, that's going to be a big problem for him, because especially since his pro, his mentor, is Mark Henry. We'll just have to see how much charisma Mark Henry can drill into a guy. We got Mike McGillicuddy. Mike McGillicuddy, first of all, what kind of Mike McGillicuddy? Seriously? That's his name? Like, how? Anyway, regardless, he is the grandson of Larry Hennig, son of Kurt Hennig. Kurt Hennig, you know, Mr. Perfect. He was brought up to developmental, and when he went to developmental, they said, hey, you know what? You are going to be working just like your father. So do his moves, try to cut a promo like him. Your real name is Joe Hennig, so we're just going to call you, you know, Mr. Perfect Joe Hennig, or Mr. Perfection, or the Perfection, you know, Joe Hennig, or something along those lines. So just work up that gimmick, and that's what you're going to be. And that's what he's been training for. As soon as, I believe, Monday, he was talking to friends, said, I'm Joe Hennig, you know, I'm going to be going up there, you're going to see Joe Hennig on TV, Joe Hennig's name in lights, blah, 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 blah. Tuesday night, he's on TV. He is Mike McGillicuddy. Mike McGillicuddy. It's a great name. Mike McGillicuddy. So I don't know. Maybe he's going to be dating Beulah. I'm not sure what's happening there. Alex Riley. They tried to bring him into WWE. And he was going to be with his girlfriend, on the road. They were going to use him in a bunch of house shows, introduce him to the crowd. Then at the last moment, they took his girlfriend, put her in ECW, and used her as the backstage interviewer, Courtney. So then she was cut. They said that, so, you know, he ended up never doing the tour and never getting brought up. So they just kind of held on to him. They say he actually has a lot of charisma, maybe not a great worker, but, you know, decent guy, can do an interview, no problem. So, looks like he may be the strongest of the ones on the show so far. After, of course, Low Ki. Low Ki, they're calling him Caval, which is a name he's used before in other places. You may know him as Senshi, but he is here now making his debut. And of course, they have paired him with Lay Cool, Michelle McCool, and Layla. And they, of course, made fun of his size. They said he was teeny, he was small. So they're going to make fun of him the same way they made fun of Daniel Bryan, in the hopes that it'll instantly get him over. Because, of course, you know, they don't believe that wrestlers can get over on their own, or wrestlers have the ability to achieve anything without the WWE machine behind them. So they are going to make him an immediate underdog, in as far as the way he's treated by everybody else on the show, in the hopes that the people will support him. Of course, not realizing that you just have to go, hey, this is Low Ki, and everybody will support him. So that's what's going on with NXT for next season, for the five of you who watched the show and were wondering. Now you know. And so now you can go to sleep tonight. It's fine. It's fine. You can relax now. That's what's happening with NXT. Oh, there is one other piece of news on NXT. They are trying to push for another season. They've talked before about having another one-hour series on another network, perhaps even Bravo. And they weren't sure, you know, what exactly the show was going to be, but they were trying to push for, you know, some sort of other hour-long show that they can do some matches on. Well, it looks like they're trying to push NXT to Bravo. And Bravo wants to have it more of a reality show, from what I understand. They want a lot more of backstage, working with the guys in training, etc. WWE wants to keep it the exact same show it is, just on Bravo. Because, you know, the show has worked so well this past season. Well, the finale did get a 1.2, which makes it higher than Impact, but still not a great show. So we'll just have to see what happens there. But I'm not really putting a whole lot of faith in the show surviving to make it to Bravo. But I guess, you know, weirder things have happened in the world of professional wrestling. Some other news, the trailer for AAA video game has hit the interwebs. You can go to YouTube and find it. If you're a fan of my Facebook page, you'd be able to find the link to it. Right now, it's called, what is it called? AAA Lucha Libre Heroes of the Ring. They are going to be showing the game off on the show floor of E3. They're going to have a live match with Dr. Wagner, Laredo Kid, Murder Clown, and Mini Abismo Negro. So that'll be interesting to see the actual match as it grabs some attention. But the game, so far, Lucha Libre is run under very different rules than regular professional wrestling. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody who's ever tried to watch it. And the game so far seemed to be built around the whole idea of the paper, rock, scissors style of the early SmackDown games, which lead to, you know, over-the-top chains. The more you can beat your opponent and chain the moves together, the bigger the pull-off, the reaction will be. So you can start out with a neck scissors, which turns into a Hurricane Rana, which turns into jumping 450 off the ropes, which could then turn to, you know, you can chain them together to make these bigger and bigger, bigger things. So the graphics look pretty good so far. One thing about AAA is that it does use a six-sided ring, just like TNA used to. And so the game is built around that, using that for the physics. But, as wrestling goes, the lucha style is much more spot-heavy and less about ring psychology. And so, perfectly suited for a game. It looks to have good ideas behind it, and looks like they may actually be able to pull off something that people can care about. So that's something to look for. AAA Lucha Libre Heroes of the Ring. There's also another wrestling show. It's another Lucha Libre show called Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. It's going to start filming, Sunday, as a matter of fact, in California. If anybody, if you're near the Rancho Mirage Agua Caliente Casino, if you know where that is. They're working out a deal right now for a 30-minute time slot on MTV. It's going to be actually MTV2 and MTV3, much like Wrestling Society X. If you remember that show was great for all the wrong reasons, but it did have some good matches. Of course, Evan Bourne was on there, Vampiro, some names you have heard of before. But just like those shows, 30-minute show, and Mark Jindrak is actually the top U.S. guy on the show that they were going to be pushing. But, of course, they are going to have some other guys, Liz Mark Jr., Teniablis, some of those guys who, if you follow Lucha at all, you kind of recognize some of those names. So those guys will be on there, too. And, of course, they are pushing for that to get, the DVD on demand and that type of stuff going along with it. So that'll be interesting as well to see how all of that plays out. I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. I love Lucha. It is so completely different. You can't watch it with the same mindset as you would watch WWE or TNA or anything like that. But I love watching it because it is so different. So I am looking forward to that. Hulk Hogan had surgery this past week. He had bone spurs they had to remove, but he appears to be doing fine. They just taped 4 episodes of Impact back to back to back to back. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. So this gives Hogan time to recover before taping commences again, and he should be fine for all of that. Not a whole lot else. Kurt Angle still says he wants to do MMA. Batista still says he wants to do MMA. We'll just have to see how that stuff plays out. And I guess that's really about it to talk about that's happening in the world of wrestling. So any other news and notes, anything else you want to talk about, drop me a line. We are going to take a break real quick, and then we'll be back with your rundown of WWE Superstars on WGN America, and also to have your look at what other show? Oh, right, Friday Night SmackDown. Back in just a bit, guys.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Check out www.LockerRoomHQ.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.PopCultureNetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.PopCultureNetwork.com. Well, we open the show again with a correction. That was not all the wrestling news. There were 2 other stories that I meant to throw in there that somehow I missed going down my list. So, without further ado, Matt Morgan will be appearing on an episode of The Good Guys on Fox. Apparently, it's a new show. I have not seen it. I have no idea what the show is about. But he is appearing on the show playing some sort of Russian mobster who is locked up. Don't know details beyond that because, again, I haven't seen the show. I don't know anything about what it's about. But somehow Dixie Carter got a deal for Matt Morgan to be on the show. So there you go with that. The other news is Chris Jericho is getting his own show. So far, it's just a 6-episode deal that they've signed. But, you know, if those 6 episodes do well, then it will be back for more. It's a new game show called Downfall. And apparently the idea is they are on top of a building, and the contestant will be on there answering questions, and if they get them right, then they win money, and if they get them wrong, then one of their possessions, one of their friends' possessions, or one of their family's possessions will be tossed off the roof. And there will be a conveyor belt there that, you know, when they toss something off, it can catch it and take it away to safety, but as far as the guy on the roof knows, his stuff is getting destroyed. And they may, in fact, do something where some of it gets destroyed, but not all of it gets destroyed. You know, just his stuff gets destroyed, not his friends and family stuff. I don't know exactly how the gimmick is going to play out. And, of course, it's one of those things where once the show debuts and people see it, then people who get called up, casted to be on future seasons, wouldn't they know? So there's got to be some sort of, you know, mix-up beyond that, but, you know, don't really know, you know, further details other than the fact that it will be on ABC, and it will be following Wipeout, which is actually my 5-year-old son's third favorite TV show of all time. So if you like watching Wipeout, it's going to be on right after that Tuesday nights. You're going to miss out on some NXT, I guess, but So that's good news about Jericho's show. All right, let's get into Superstars. Show opened with Mark Henry coming down to the ring. He faced Primo. Primo's heel again now, so good for him, I guess. But two of them had a match, and of course, Mark Henry, big, powerful guy. Primo, smaller guy. Primo kept trying to attack Mark Henry's legs. Eventually went up top, tried to do a splash on him. Mark Henry caught him, hit him with the slam, got the pin. 3-minute match, nothing fantastic. Just made Mark Henry look big and strong, and Primo look like a guy who they don't know what to do with now that his brother's not on the show anymore, and they don't have a storyline built in for him there. So there you go with that. We had a women's match with Jillian Hall versus Gail Kim. This one went about 5 minutes, a little bit longer. They both did a lot of work, and, you know, to be honest, Jillian Hall is not that bad of a wrestler. Still not a good match, but not the train wreck I was expecting. The Gail Kim opened with some big spots up front. Jillian cut her off, worked her over for most of the match, until finally Jillian got a little too cocky working over Gail Kim, and Gail blocked the move, hit the eat defeat jawbreaker, whatever thing that is, and ended up getting the pin. So, you know, it's nice to see Jillian Hall able to do something, but again, match was not great. And Gail Kim looks all right out there, but you can tell that they just really have no idea what to do with her. They signed her because she can wrestle, but then they don't really have a storyline laid out for her, so she's just kind of spinning her wheels. There you go. They had the women's co-champion Michelle McCool and Layla in a non-title match versus Tiffany. 3-minute match. Not good. Layla was at ringside just cheering on Michelle McCool. Tiffany, still not a great wrestler. She is athletic, but that does not make you a great wrestler. Michelle McCool looked like $1 million here in the ring compared, so keep that in mind. But, you know, nothing real special about it. Again, 3 minutes short women's match. It was actually kind of disappointing to have the Gail Kim versus Jillian Hall and the Michelle McCool versus Tiffany match, and neither one was really that fantastic. You would think this would be a good spot that they could use to, you know, put on a good women's match, a long women's match, but they didn't do it. We go backstage for Vicky Guerrero talking to Chavo about his match with Christian. And of course, Chavo's like, I can defeat Christian, no problem. Not worried about it. In comes Dolph Ziggler. Vicky Guerrero fumbles around a bunch of papers. You can tell that she's got the hots for Dolph. Drops all the papers on the ground. Dolph bends over to pick him up. She checks out his butt. She gets all flustered and fumbled. Talks about how she will see Dolph later tonight, which he just kind of, yeah, okay, whatever, and leaves. Chavo gets in Vicky's face. What's wrong with you? What's your problem? And she's all goo-goo for Ziggler. So she wants a little piece of that zigzag, if you know what I'm saying. Hopefully you do, because I don't know how you could take that any other way. Got a bunch of videos, NXT, Rampage, hosting Raw, all that kind of stuff. Christian's music hits. He comes down to the ring, plays to everybody. They go to commercial. They had Christian versus Chavo. Let's see. They had Matt Stryker refer to Chavo's gimmick as Kerwin White, which, by the way, I loved. That was awesome. But, you know, he dropped it when Eddie died. But that was a great gimmick. I always loved that gimmick. But regardless, match with Christian. Chavo not doing too well. Christian basically, you know, getting the best of him. So Vicky comes out. She now makes it a 2-on-1 handicap match. Dolph Ziggler comes down to the ring. They go to a commercial. They come back. And Dolph Ziggler, Chavo, they're tagging. So it's a handicap match, but it's not a 2-on-1 match. It's a tag. So basically tag in and out, trying to take care of Christian. Chavo basically blocks the kill switch, hits a suplex, goes up for the frog splash, but Christian moves out of the way. Dolph Ziggler blind tags Chavo while he goes up top. So Christian hits the kill switch on Chavo, but since Dolph is the legal guy, grabs him, hits the zigzag, gets the pin, and gets the win. So Vicky super happy as she's watching backstage, and of course, very lustily looking at Ziggler. Dolph and Chavo celebrate the victory, And it was actually a very long, this was three-fourths of the show. I mean, this was, like, I don't know, 14 minutes, 15 minutes long. So, nice long match, even though they, you know, had to play around with it. They gimmicked it up, but for being the C show with a bunch of random matches thrown onto it, it was entertaining all the way around. So, and as gross as, you know, the whole Vicky Dolph Ziggler thing is, people seem mildly offended by it a lot of times. I enjoy it. I have no problem with that. So, there you go with that. All right, as always, now we're going to switch gears and look at tonight's episode of SmackDown. I've got the show sitting here, so I'm actually going to pause the show now. We're going to play that nice little whoosh sound effect thing, and we'll be back to discuss the opening segment of tonight's show. This is either going to be your most favorite segment of the year, or this is going to be your most hated segment of all time. Here's what happens. They start out with Teddy Long backstage. He talks about how over the weekend the Undertaker was found in a vegetative state by his brother Kane. So I guess the you know, two of them were having a family reunion or something. And while they do not have any details, they are doing an ongoing investigation to see who, quote, or what, unquote, may have caused this problem. But they will definitely find out who is responsible for this vicious attack. So they say, we don't know who or what caused it, but we're going to find whoever did it. Now, when you say who or what, that would mean that maybe he had a heart attack, maybe he had an aneurysm, maybe he was struck by a bolt of lightning. You know, who or what kind of opens it to be any sort of possibilities. Maybe he pulled an Eddie Guerrero. We don't know, but he's in a vegetative state, is what they say. So, why is it an attack? How did it become an attack? So, whatever, regardless. That's not the part. That's not the big part. That's what they play before the credits. Then they do the opening credits. Then the druids come out on stage. They have a coffin. They have fog. They push the coffin down to ringside. Kane's music hits. Lights turn red. Pyro. Kane comes out down to the ring. There's a microphone standing up. He opens the coffin, and of course it's empty, but he talks about how the Undertaker is most likely gone. He will never be in the WWE again. He will find out who's responsible. He will make them pay for this. He's doing a bunch of fake crying, and it's, you know, one of those kind of awkward things, but they start screaming about how there will be vengeance, and he will make these people pay, and he starts screaming and ranting and blah, 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 and he knocks over the microphone, and he gets down to do Undertaker's one knee thing, and breaks down crying, and crawls over the casket, and starts screaming, I should have been there! I should have been there for you! Ah! And then they echoed through the audio track what he had just said moments earlier, echoing, there will be vengeance! There will be vengeance! And it goes to a commercial. So, these... Okay, so you're either going to love it or hate it, because this is very much... These are characters. You are watching... When you see IRS come down to the ring to do a run-in as some sort of legend, he is still a tax guy. He is still a guy who wrestles, and then on weekends, he does people's taxes, trying to find a way to make them pay more taxes. He's a Democrat. So then, you know, these other guys come in with characters, goofy characters, a guy like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He's not a dragon. Maybe he knows some kung fu, whatever, but he's a guy, does a thing. Kane. Kane is a demon. And, it so plays into their character history, the goofiness of the characters. You know, how can Undertaker be in a vegetative state? I thought he was the dead man. Can you make a ghost fall asleep? You know, whatever. So that's just kind of like the goofy thing that's going on. So you're either going to watch this and be, this is, you know, 1998 goofiness, corporate ministry, you know, type of event that you will love, or you're going to go, man, this is all that character crap. we're supposed to believe that Kane and Undertaker are really brothers, and that they both had the same dad, Paul Bearer, but they had different moms because Paul Bearer seduced Undertaker's mom, and, you know, plays into all that kind of stuff. So, like I said, you're either going to love it or hate it. Personally, I love it. At first, I didn't like it because, you know, he was trying to do all the fake crying stuff. But, you know, over time, it became the show, became the promo that I think it was meant to be, with him screaming and getting mad, and then I enjoyed it. So, all right, next segment. Okay, so our opening match of the night, we get Jack Swagger coming down to the ring. He's got a Sooners jersey on, which, can you guess who scouted him to the WWE? But we're in his Sooners jersey because they are in somewhere else that's not a Sooner place, because it's a sports thing. So he's wearing the jersey of a sports team that's not from there. So these must be people who are enemies of this people, so you know he's a heel. Regardless, they had Jack Swagger versus MVP as your opening match. Now, here's the deal. It's the opening match on the show, so it's obviously not the most important thing. So on the one hand, that's bad. On the other hand, they gave these guys a lot of time. They had a very good match, very competitive. It was exciting. It was fun. So on that hand, it was very good. On the other hand, WWE has not shown a lot of faith in MVP over the years. They have pulled pushes out from under his feet many occasions. So putting Jack Swagger in the opening match against MVP is not necessarily a good sign for Jack Swagger. On the other hand, they have been pushing a lot of young talent, new talent, mid-card guys getting pushed to the top recently because of all the injuries and everything that's going on. So the question is, did they make this the opening match so that they could have a quick, powerful, exciting match to open up the show to put you in a good mood? And are they hoping to elevate MVP by putting him in this highly competitive match with the World Heavyweight Champion? Or is this a gigantic burial for Jack Swagger? Regardless, it was a fun match. These two did a really good job. Open, Jack Swagger had control, but they go to a commercial break. During the commercial, MVP is able to turn things around, toss Swagger to the outside, jump to the outside, hit him. Then he's back in control for a while. Finally, MVP tries to go for the ballin' elbow drop, but as he turns around to run the ropes, Swagger gets up, goes for a clothesline, misses it. They go back and forth, do a bunch of finishers. MVP hits the ballin' elbow, and it looks like he's going to win, but Swagger gets his hand on the ropes. So if it wasn't for the ropes being right there, we would have a new world... Oh, this is a non-title match, but we would have a new contender for the title who had beaten the world champion. So regardless, though, he had grabbed the ropes, so match continued. They went back and forth. They both hit big stuff. Got pretty exciting with the near falls there until finally Swagger is able to duck a big boot that MVP is trying to hit him with in the corner. So instead, MVP gets his foot hung up on the top rope. Swagger turns around, grabs him for the roll-up, schoolboy, small package, whatever it was, and gets the pin. So Jack Swagger retains his title, immediately jumps out of the ring, grabs his title, walks off because he's a champion, and he's won, so he's going to get the hell out of there. So as MVP is standing in the ring, thinking about his loss, in comes in Vance Archer and the other guy, the one who looks like Josh Matthews and Edge had a love child. Curt Hawkins? Is that him? Yes, Curt Hawkins. Curt Hawkins and Vance Archer, they're now calling themselves the Gate Crashers. They have to make an impact within the 30 days so they can get the contract. You know, those guys. So they jump in. They double team on MVP. They take him out, hit him with a couple big moves, and then celebrate the fact that they've beaten him up. And then they leave, and we go to commercial. Kind of a fun opening. Again, good match. Plenty of time. The guys, you know, had a lot of fun with it. Got pretty exciting near the end. Crowd was into the match, so good all the way around. I'm not too sure about the Gate Crashers running at the end, but they're going to have a storyline. They pick on MVP. It just kind of shows that MVP is a guy higher up in the pecking order, so I guess I'm okay with that in the long run. They cut to backstage. Teddy Long enjoying a quiet moment with himself. Well, not exactly what I meant, but anyway, he's apparently alone with the camera guy in his office. Vicky Guerrero comes in, asks what he's planning to do about The Undertaker. Since Undertaker cannot be in the Fatal 4-Way match, they need to find a replacement. She has the perfect guy in mind, Dolph Ziggler. She said that he's obviously the guy on the roster who blah, 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 blah. And Teddy snaps out of it, says, roster? Good idea. Everybody on the roster gets a chance. Everybody on the roster will be in a battle royal for his spot at the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view tonight. And then Vicky gets disgusted and leaves. And amazingly, that's the end of the segment, but amazingly, she leaves, and where she's standing in the camera, as soon as she leaves, there's a table behind her. And, you know, they always, whenever they set up one of these offices, they always fill it with all this gimmick stuff sitting around in there. They have, of course, his, you know, pictures of Martin Luther King Jr. and whatever. They have a little table with two framed letters. Two framed letters. And these two framed letters are the two letters that Drew McIntyre has brought onto the show in order to overturn Teddy Long's decisions. So Teddy Long, after reading these letters from Vince McMahon, having his authority questioned and reversing his decisions, decided to take these letters and frame them and put them in his office with his Martin Luther King Jr. photograph and his WWE magazine cover recreations and his pay-per-view posters. Whatever works, man. Whatever works. All right, next segment. All right, so we come back from commercial, and we've got CM Punk, Straight Edge Society, backstage. Well, CM Punk of the Straight Edge Society. The rest of the society's not there. It's just him. But he's putting on his mask. He's adjusting it. In walks Kane. He throws him against the wall, grabs him by the throat, says he can smell the guilt on him. Punk says that Straight Edge Society knows all about family. He didn't do it. He had nothing to do with it, but he would like to, you know, offer the resources of the Straight Edge Society because they know all about, you know, fallen brothers. Kane goes, brothers, brothers, blah, 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 and throws CM Punk off screen and storms off. Yeah, you know, whatever. What are you going to do? It was fine for being the goofy little thing it had to be. So now they advertise the Intercontinental title match. Drew McIntyre coming down. He's claiming his rematch here tonight. So out comes Kofi Kingston. The two of them wrestle for a little bit. It's all right. Then Matt Hardy comes out. He is suspended, but he has bought a front row ticket, which leads, you know, of course, to the question of didn't he just get suspended? How did he get a front row ticket? But regardless, he comes down, sits down, and of course, he's watching what's going on. Drew McIntyre, Kofi fight to the outside. What ends up happening is eventually they're fighting on the outside, and McIntyre just out of nowhere turns around and slaps Matt Hardy across the face. Backhanded slap. Just pew. So, of course, Matt Hardy tries to jump the barricade. Security jumps on him, pulls him back. Drew McIntyre throws Kofi Kingston into the ring and gets up, and instead of going for the pin, which would have gotten him the win and he would have regotten his title, instead he walks over the corner and stares down Matt Hardy while security is holding him back, kind of throwing it into his face. Turns around just in time for Kofi Kingston to hit him with the SOS and get the pin, retain his title. So Kofi Kingston wins the title. Matt Hardy backs off, says security, hey, 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 you know, it's fine. I mean, he hit me, but I'll just let it go, whatever, it's fine. So security kind of lets go of him, and he backs off. They stand around for a minute, and then as Kofi exits the ring, Matt Hardy jumps the barricade, slides in the ring, hits Drew McIntyre with the twist of fate, then immediately jumps back out of the ring, jumps the barricade on the other side, runs off through the crowd with security chasing after him. So, sucks to be Drew McIntyre. He's again buried and buried pretty deep. And apparently that's all that's in his future because of the way that they've lost total faith in Drew McIntyre. And again, his match with Kofi Kingston. When Kofi was in control, Kofi would hit his big moves, his exciting stuff. People would, you know, cheer for it, whatever. But Kofi, you know, is not the most polished guy out there. He does some neat, exciting stuff from time to time, but he really does look sloppy sometimes. He needs to work on that. But all in all, the people, you know, like him. When McIntyre would take control of the match, of course, he would slow it down and ground it, but he made it just so slow and boring. I don't know anybody who sees anything at Drew McIntyre at this point. They see maybe some potential. He might have a few years down the road, but the way they just kind of shoved him in everybody's face, it's apparent that he was not ready for that type of push right now. And so he's falling back down the ladder. They cut backstage, and they had Kane. He had his hands, his head in his hands, almost like he's crying. He was sitting next to Ray. Ray does the Catholic cross, says a little prayer. Kane goes, "I'm not looking for your sympathy. You know, maybe you're trying to cover your tracks. You know, he last week turned your dream of getting into the Fatal 4-Way into a nightmare. Maybe you did it." And so, of course, Ray's like, "No, of course I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with this." And Kane goes, "You know, I can't assume that anyone is innocent in this." And so Ray just kind of gets up, kind of looks at him like, "You're crazy," and backs off and walks out of frame. So Kane's going crazy looking for the guy who did it. My guess is going to be that when Undertaker returns, he'll say, "I know who did it. It was you, Kane." And Kane will go, "I am evil." And then the two of them will feud. That's just my guess there. We'll see how that turns out. But after that, we go to commercial, and it's time for the next segment. Segment opens with Jack Swagger smiling backstage. See, now I know. This is in Texas. See, and Jack Swagger's got the Oklahoma Sooners jersey. So the Oklahoma-Texas people feud, apparently, all the time. So he's out there to talk about how great the Sooners were and how they had swagger and how they kept pushing the Dallas team back home as losers because they are winners. And he wanted to sing the Boomer Sooner theme song. So, of course, they hit JR's entrance theme, which is the Sooner music, and it's playing. And he's going to sing along, so this little thing pops up at the bottom, says Boomer Sooner, and this little swagger head comes in and bounces along on top of the words as he's singing, Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, with little Jack Swagger head bouncing on the Boomer Sooner across the bottom of the screen. As he's singing, Kane comes up behind him. And Swagger just kind of stops. The music stops. Swagger doesn't turn around to look at Kane. He just kind of puts his head down and doesn't want to look up. And Kane just kind of breathes heavily on him. And Kane says,
"Donuts and cream."
Okay, well, not exactly, but that's kind of the impression you get as he's standing there breathing heavily on the back of his neck. But he just asks, you know, "Did you do it?" And Swagger still doesn't look up, still doesn't look at him, just kind of shakes his head no. And cuts to the ring. We have Rosa Mendez comes down. She gets in the ring. Nobody cares. Out comes Kelly Kelly. The crowd mildly cares, but doesn't really care about Kelly Kelly, so at least it's a smart crowd. The two of them have a match. Amazingly enough, not that good. But partway through the match, Lay Cool comes out on the ramp. They start making fun of Kelly Kelly. When they distract Kelly Kelly, that's the only time Rosa really gets in any offense. But eventually, Kelly Kelly is able to turn it back around. She hits a terrible clothesline. She gets a second rope cross body, I think it was. Then sets her up, hits her with the K2. Leg drop, gets the pin. Lay Cool, surprised, shocked that Kelly Kelly wins. Kelly Kelly looks happy that she's won. And then Lay Cool just then talks about how they have the championship and Kelly Kelly doesn't. So that they laugh at her. Ha 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 ha. And we go to commercial. So that whole segment, Jack Swagger, the women's match. I'm guessing that this Battle Royal, since it's the whole roster, is going to be pretty long, and it's going to take up most of the end of the show here, because not a whole lot has happened so far with these matches. They've been throwing them in there and getting them out pretty quick. So I'm betting this Battle Royal is pretty big. But we'll find out, because it's up next. All right, we come back from commercial, and Big Show is sitting backstage playing cards with Hornswoggle. As soon as Kane comes in, Hornswoggle makes a run for it, and Big Show and Kane go nose to nose as they start talking about what happened with The Undertaker. And Kane, of course, thinks, you know, Undertaker always had Big Show's number, which made Big Show upset. Big Show said he had nothing to do with him, you know, anything that happened with The Undertaker, and if you want to blame me for this, it would be a giant mistake. So then we cut down to the ring, time for our main event Battle Royal. This thing went about a half hour. May have been actually a little bit over, considering the commercials. So pretty big part of the show is this Battle Royal. Started out, Rey Mysterio came out first, Dolph Ziggler came out next, then they went to another commercial. When they came back, most of the people were in the ring. Kofi came out. You could see that MVP, Christian Chavo, Gallows, the Gate Crashers, Finley, the Dude Busters, Chris Masters, I think, was down there. Let's see here. They had Drew McIntyre come down the ring holding his neck. Kane's music hit. He came down and half the ring jumped out of the way. They had Punk on the outside with Serena. Match started. Rey Mysterio tried to pull off CM Punk's mask, but fought himself back inside. Kane, like, everybody beat up on Kane for a long time and then tried to throw him out of the ring, but broke up as everybody went all over the place. I think Chris Masters was the first one out. Dude Busters were out. JTG was out. Kofi Kingston, Drew McIntyre, they both eliminated each other, fighting, going over the side, continued to fight. Finley dumped out Dolph Ziggler and Christian. Chavo got eliminated. Vance, Archer, MVP, and Finley all went out at the same time. So basically your final four were Kurt Hawkins, Kane, Luke Gallows, and Rey Mysterio. And here's the thing. Like, I understand that they said the entire roster was going to be on there, but if that was true, where was Hornswoggle? You know, if that was true, you know, where was Big Show? I don't think he was in this at all. You know, so it's like there were a lot of guys who weren't in it that probably should have. But then at the same time, you know, they don't want to hurt everybody, but they shouldn't say the entire roster. He should have said, you know, I will open it up to the entire roster. And there should have been guys who said, oh, wait a minute. Was Big Show all? He's already in there. Never mind. I'm an idiot. I'm just a straight up idiot. So that's why Big Show's not in the Battle Royal, because he's already in the match. Hey, well, at least the show's over, right? So, what it came down to is Kurt Hawkins went out quickly, because, of course, no one believes that Kurt Hawkins is going to be in Fatal 4-Way. That would just be crazy. Luke Gallows ended up getting eliminated next, so it came down to Rey and Kane. They did a whole bunch of stuff. The two of them went on for quite a while, just the two of them, until finally... Rey hit the 619. He went for the springboard, but Kane caught him in midair for a choke slam. Rey instead grabbed him in a head scissors and flipped him over, and Kane went outside over the top rope. So Rey Mysterio wins. He is not going on vacation after all, since Undertaker is hurt. He instead will be going to the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. And Kane, I guess, will probably end up getting into a program with... what's-his-face Big Show after that pay-per-view, because it looked like that was something they were setting up for. Swagger, on the other hand, I am hoping, you know, with Swagger and MVP again, the two of them opening the show, it's kind of scary, because on the one way it could be seen as a burial, but I really hope that they let those guys have a chance to shine on the top. I don't want the Jack Swagger experiment to be over. I'd like to see it keep going for a while, because it at least has been something interesting and fresh and new, but it's WWE. You never know. And they might decide today that they never want to remove the title from Jack Swagger, and then tomorrow they may go ahead and book it anyway, because they are WWE. But... all right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for today. That's your look at tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. As always, all my mistakes, you can bring them to the message board. Just stop by popculturenetwork.com. You can even come to lockerroomhq.com and just click on forum. That'll get you there as well. Also, if you want to leave me a voicemail, 217-432-9... No, I'm giving you the wrong number. What number am I giving you? I don't know what number that is. The number of the voicemail, though, if you have Skype, you can just get on Skype, look for the user DirtMound, or you can just type in my email address, nmwdirt@gmail.com, or dirt@popculturenetwork.com. There's several different ways you can find my account in there by doing various searches, but that'll get you to a lot of them. But it's area code 217-953-4025 if you want to do it by phone. That is a long-distance number. If you don't want to do long-distance, I understand. But at the same time, I'd like to hear from you, especially if I made a mistake. Let me know, because there's nothing better than hearing you guys spout off about how stupid I am, because I get it all the time at home anyway. I'd rather get it from the people I like. Oh, wait, what was that? Anyway, time to go. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you again on Tuesday with your recap of Monday Night Raw. Good God,
Sure like the ball. When you remember me last night.